Okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. We're going to read 6 through 11, and then we're going to discuss it, okay? It says, starting in verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." As we unfold this, and of course, you're going to find in Romans that Romans is all about salvation, 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 salvation. And it's just different aspects of it. And he talks to different people about it. For example, the Jews or the Gentiles. And as we get in Romans chapter 8, you're going to find 9, 10, 11, and 12 is really aimed toward Israel and the Jews. And then, of course, he brings us in and he brings us along with him on this journey. And guys, I'm just going to tell you, I'm so thankful that God opened the door for us to have salvation as well. Amen. So as we look at this, let's look at Jesus dying in our place. He died for us. He paid the price that we should have paid. And when I talk to people about that, you see pride well up in people, and I don't need a savior, Jesus, he was just a good person. Or, well, today we're really going to get a good look at who Jesus is and exactly what Jesus did for each and every one of us. Today is about salvation, and some of you are going to go, well, hey, you know what? I'm saved, and so this is basics. Well, praise the Lord that you can sharpen your basic skills. Amen. And so you grab hold of this. Never discount the Word of God because you think you know it, because there may be something that you're going to get out of it that's going to change the course of your life. And so never discount the Word of God just because you think you know the topic or the verse. Amen. All right, so as we look at this, we're going to see, let's look here in 5:6. In 5:6, it says, "For when we were still without strength." This "without strength," guys, literally means without the ability to save ourselves, without the ability to rescue our own lives. And of course, this week, so many people getting sick, it just reminds us, man, you know, we got to wait for things to take its course and hope we get better. Amen. A few months ago, I tore my bicep from my shoulder. There's nothing I could do. The doctor put it back together, and then it was just a matter of waiting, time to heal, because there's really nothing I could do. And either it's going to heal or it's not going to heal. And getting over this bug that I have, and it's either going to go, and I just got to wait the process out. And when we take medicine for it, the medicine just kind of relieves the symptoms until they go away. Amen. Right? It doesn't really take care of the cold. It just kind of helps us deal with it. Well, with Jesus, that's not so. He says, listen, when you were without strength, when you didn't have the ability to save your own self, that is when I came in. And so he says here in Romans 5:6 again, "For when we were still without strength, in due time," we were powerless. There was nothing we can do. And in due time, the perfect timing, it was up to God. It was up to God to send. People say, well, why didn't this come sooner? Or why didn't Jesus do this sooner? Or why didn't God move sooner? Listen, everything comes in due time. It is God's timing. He has his reason. He has his purpose. He has his direction. And who are we to question it? And now we can, right? Because there's many of us that go, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? And God says, listen, when the timing is right and when things are perfect, then I'm going to move you and I'm going to move other people and I'm going to put it in place. Until then, wait. While we live in a microwave society, right? We want it instant now, and even now takes too long, doesn't it? If we can't get it right now, at this moment, right now, I want it now, and if we can't have it, that's just too long. And you take a frozen dinner and you throw it in the microwave, and it says microwave for 2 minutes, and at 30 seconds, we're checking it. What is up, man? I'm hungry. I want to eat it now. And, well, the direction said 2 minutes. Well, it's been 30 seconds. And we just want it now. And so God says, listen, in due time, when it is right, when things are right. I've had people ask me to visit somebody. And then everything seems to get in the way, and I don't get a chance to visit them. And they're like, well, Pastor, why didn't you go? Apparently God said, no, it's in due time. Everything is in due time, in a season. And that's when Christ came, when it was time. And so when we see this, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? We are the ungodly. Every human being is the ungodly. The fullness of time. Look here in Galatians 4:4. It'll be up on the board. Galatians 4:4. In Galatians 4:4, it says this. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And then in verse 5, it says, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. But when the fullness of time had come, listen, it's God's timing. It is not our timing, and it's for God's purpose and for God's reason. It is not ours. And yet we still choose to get mad at God, don't we? We still choose to say, God, where are you? We choose to say, hey, God, what are you doing? God, what's going on? And you know, the truth is, God died for us, and he desires us, and he wants us, and he calls us, but the problem is we don't answer him a lot of times. Or it takes forever. We're going to get a clip ready to play, and before we play the clip, I just want to set it up, okay? How many have seen the movie Cliffhanger with Stallone? Okay, the clip is out of the movie Cliffhanger. Now, here's the interesting thing. This is an old movie. Of course, I say old. I don't know when it came out. 90s, I think it came out, didn't it? 80s? At any rate, nobody's throwing it out there. We don't know. And so, but the interesting thing is, every time, ever since I've seen this movie, for years and years and years, every time I talk about salvation, this clip comes to mind, this scene in the movie. And so I finally decided to play it today. And what I want you to see is, I want you to see that God calls us and God begs us. He says, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to reach up. I want you to reach to me. I have come. It is fullness of time. I have come. I desire you. I want you're ungodly. I want to save you. And reach up, reach up, reach up, reach up. And so many times we go, God, I'm not interested. Or I hear, you know, it's just not the right time for me. Or I hear, that's just not for me right now. And the crazy thing is, salvation is for everybody. Today is the day of salvation, according to Corinthians. Amen. And yet we go, no, not yet, not now. And so as you watch this clip, I want you to see, obviously I'm not comparing Stallone to God or anything like that, but I want you to see that it's really no difference in this clip what you're going to see and the way man is with God. So go ahead and play that clip. Start.
It's breaking. She's losing it. Sarah!
Thank you!
He'll have you in a second, baby!
No!
Come on!
No!
Oh, don't you go!
Please,
Sarah!
Hurry, Dave. You're almost there. You're almost there.
Gabe,
keep going.
I'm here, Sarah. Sarah!
I don't
want to
die!
Sarah! Reach up and grab him! Reach up! Sarah, reach up!
Come on, honey! Use your other hand!
Reach up! Yeah.
Reach up now!
Thank you!
Just reach up!
I can't!
You can do it! Please, baby, just reach up! Reach up!
Help! Help!
That's life, spiritually speaking. Now, for you kids in here, she had on a parachute and she was okay. All right? Just so you kids know, she had a parachute. She was fine. But guys, listen, that does that not picture what life is, spiritually speaking? Does that not show us what happens? God says, reach up, reach up. I'm here. Reach up, reach up. And what do we do? I can't, nope, I'm not interested. And God says, listen, I'm going to send my son to die for you. And he's going reaching out for us. And he says, just grab hold. And we go, well, we don't want to die. And he says, then you got to get a hold. And he goes, we don't want to die. Well, you got to get a hold. No, I can't. And then there just comes that time where there's a let go. And this is what happens, guys. And God says, the Father says, listen, I sent my son. Look here in 5:6 again. For when we were still without strength, that we didn't have the ability to save ourselves, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And then it goes on, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And here's what he's saying. You know what? For a good person, somebody may die. But for the ungodly, man, how many times have we seen somebody on the news who maybe they've killed a child? And we say, man, I hope they get the death penalty. I hope they get this. I hope. And yet Jesus said, man, you're no different than that person, and I died for you. You say, well, I'm different than that person. No, you're not. I'm not. Nobody is. And yet Jesus says, I died for you so that you would not have to die. Man, how many people would scarcely die for a good person? And God says, I died for the lowest of the low. I died for those that you can't stand. I died for those that you wished would die without me. He said, I died for everyone. Think about that just for a second. Guys, I don't mean for today's message to be heavy, but man, I mean for you to think about it. I mean for you to process, what is salvation? And who did God extend it to? And we want to pick and choose who God extends it to. I had a discussion with a lady here a few weeks ago, and she said, Pastor, you said something in the sermon that I don't agree with. Okay, that wouldn't be the first time somebody's told me that, just for the record, amen? And so we talked about it, and we discussed it. And she said, you read a passage where Jesus said, whoever calls upon me, you come and I'll be there. And I said, yeah. Well, what happens if the guy kills a child? And then they ask for forgiveness, would they be saved? And I said, yes. I don't agree with that. And I said, but who did Jesus come and die for? He died for sinners. And praise God, he died for you and me because you're a sinner. And the response was, no, I'm not. And I went, wow, that's pretty interesting. And so we were talking, and I said, listen, do you need Jesus? And she goes, oh, yeah, I need Jesus. And I go, why? You're perfect. Jesus only died for sinners. This kind of like rang the bell for a second. And I said, if you're perfect, because I said, have you ever lied? Nope. Have you ever stolen anything? Nope. Have you ever had a wrong thought? Nope. Never in my life. And I went, dog, how good would that be? Amen. Woo! I would love to be in your shoes. And I said, well, then you don't need Jesus because you're perfect. And then later I said, do you need Jesus? Oh, yeah. Why? If you're perfect, Jesus only died for sinners, the Bible says. Jesus came and died for the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? Every one of us. Every human being that's ever taken a breath is ungodly. We all need a sinner. And Jesus says, listen, I came and I died for you. And in the fullness of time, I came and brought it all to fruition for it to happen. It is God's timing. And we have to wait on God. We have to trust God. He died for the ungodly. If we look here in Romans 5, 6 again, for when we were still without strength, in due time, in God's time, Christ died for you and he died for me. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But then God demonstrated his own love. John 3, 16. In John 3, 16, everybody knows John 3, 16, amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him, what? Should not perish, but have what kind of life? How long is everlasting? It's forever, right? It's forever. So when people go, well, you know, I can lose my salvation. Well, you, listen, your good works didn't save you. And according to this, it's everlasting. So therefore, you can't lose your salvation. And so either God is right or you're right. And I'm going to gamble, since you're a liar, a thief, an adulterer, a drunk, or whatever you are, that you know what? And God isn't. I think I'm going to side with God on this and go with everlasting, that he meant it's forever. What a gift, guys. Who are we to condemn God at what he is doing? Who are we to question God at what he's doing? And yet we constantly want to question God. How many here have ever made a mistake? Yeah, how many here have ever thought something to be correct and then later as you found out, whoa, I was wrong. How many here ever truly, sincerely believed something? I mean, you believed it with all of your heart and then you were proven wrong. See, we can be sincere and we can still be sincerely wrong. God has never been wrong. God has never missed a mark. God has never made a mistake. God is God because he's perfect. And God says, listen, because of my perfectness, because of my love, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a sacrifice to cover your sins. I'm going to send my son, who doesn't deserve to die, who doesn't deserve this punishment, who doesn't deserve all that he's about to receive, but I'm going to send him so he can shed his blood for you. And you know what? You are without strength. You don't deserve it. You can't do anything about it. You can't save yourself. You're handicapped. It's physically impossible for you to save yourself. And so here's what I'm going to do. Because I love you. For God so loved John. Put your name there. For God so loved, put your name there. That he gave his only begotten son. That, put your name there, believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm telling you, make this personal. Because God made it very personal. How many here would allow their child to be brutally beaten to the point of recognition as a person for me, that I could live? Or maybe for the bum down on the street who urinates himself and he's a drunk and he stinks and he smells. How many would give their child for that person? Or the murderer on death row because he went in and shot up a school and killed multiple kids. How many would give their child up so that person could get out of jail and live? And yet the father says, I'm going to give my son to do exactly that. That love that we almost cannot comprehend. And who was it for? It was for us. For us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Us, you and me. You know, guys, so many times we walk through life and we just take advantage of everything and we cast God aside. Have you ever really just stopped to think how we got here? Okay, let's just say the Big Bang Theory is correct. And so let's just look at it for a moment, if that's what you believe. Obviously, I don't. But we're going to look at it just for a moment. And you say, you know what? Everything just happened. Do you realize that according to the Big Bang Theory, all this came out of zero? Nothing. We started with nothing, according to evolution. We started with nothing. There was nothing there. Nothing. Nothing means nothing. Nothing means nothing exists. Nothing means zero. How many here can take a check that is made out for the amount of zero and get any money out of it? You get what I'm saying? I mean, nothing is nothing. Zero. And yet, according to evolution, we started with nothing, and then we have all this totally perfect, organized world. Everything is so interdependent on each other. And we go, how does that happen? And things don't even make sense. And according to evolution, guess what? The weak die, and then and everything that survives just gets stronger. Then why is it that the moment you're born, you start dying? The moment everything is created and built, it starts decaying. It doesn't fit evolution. But what fits? The Word of God fits. And yet we think we're going to outlast or outlive what? What are you going to outlive? What happens when you die? Do you stop and think about that? I mean, in all reality, guys, what happens when you die? Now, for those that say, I believe in Jesus, we know what happens when we die, man. We get to see the Father. Amen. Glory to God, man. We get to see Him in all of His glory. But for those who don't believe, what happens? People say, well, we're reincarnated. Where do you get that? I mean, seriously, where do you get that? Do you know where you get it from? You get it from other people and their ideologies that reject God. Well, where did they get it? They got it from the same idiot that gave it to them. I mean, where do we get that from? There's zero proof of anything coming back as, oh, you know, okay, so I messed up. I'm going to come back as a skunk because I stunk in the first life. So I'm going to come back as a possum. I'm going to hit you with my truck. I mean, you don't even have a chance the second time. Like where do we get these thoughts? And yet God says, listen, I loved you so much that you are justified. Look here in 9. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, forgiven, looked at just as if we'd never sinned, taking all of our wrong and putting it aside, saying, you're no longer, listen, I'm not going to hold you accountable for that. Yes, you're a sinner. Yes, you've done wrong. But it's because of this innocent blood that was shed for you, I'm going to allow you to live. And I'm going to look at you just as if you've never sinned. I'm going to tell you, when we look at God's word and we look at how we get to heaven and what happens when we die, look here in Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. Why? Because life is in the blood. And God says, listen, from the very beginning of time, we can go back to Genesis. And if you look, and man sins, right? Eve eats, thank you, Eve, for eating of the fruit. And then Adam, thank you for following her, knowing it was wrong. And then what do? They cover themselves in leaves. And God comes along and He says, look, those leaves aren't enough. They're not going to do it. And He gives them garments made out of skin, hide from an animal. Well, where did He get that? From the very beginning of sin, there had to be shed blood. We see it in the garden. God had to kill an animal to cover the sins of Adam and Eve. As though blood had been shed all the way through up until Jesus. And when Jesus' blood was shed, there was no need to shed animals to cover blood. See, in the Old Testament, when animals would die and their blood was shed to cover the sins of man, it was like writing a check. And when Jesus came, Jesus cashed all those checks that were written in the Old Testament. Does that make sense? And Jesus said, not only do I cash all the checks that you guys have written back here in the Old Testament, but guess what? I cover all the checks over here in the New Testament as well. I pay for it all. I pay for it all. Without the shed blood, guys, there's no forgiveness of sin. If there's no forgiveness of sin, you can't see God, because God says, I can have nothing to do with sin. You cannot come into my household dirty. How many have went into homes and they go, oh, take your shoes off, right? Or how many times have you went and played in the mud as a kid? Of course, I know it doesn't happen today, but I mean, those that used to play in the mud as a kid, and you come running in the house and mom would stop you and say, I'll kill you if you take another step, right? You had to get out of the house and you actually had to rinse off with the water hose. Amen. Yeah. And so listen, that's what God says. God says, listen, don't you dare come into my house dirty. I can have nothing to do with that. And so, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to clean you up. But you got to reach up. You got to accept what I want to give you. And just like that clip we've seen, all too often man goes, God, I can't reach up to you. You know why? Because if I reach up to you, then I'm going to have to give up this, or I'm going to have to change that, or blah, 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 blah. And God says, okay, guess what? I'm only going to hold on for so long. And then you keep refusing, you keep refusing, you keep refusing, there's going to come a day where I'm going to let you go. And we go, God loves everybody. He'll never let anybody go. That's not what the Word of God says. The Bible says that He'll give us up. Read Romans chapter 1. He gave them up to their own what? Their own defiled mind. God says, I'll let you go. Listen, I'm long-suffering. We're going to find out that God says, I love you, and I'm long-suffering. In Romans 3:25, it says, whom God set forth, Romans 3:25. It says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. I'm going to tell you, God says, guess what? I am going to extend this out. Look here in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. In 1 Peter 1:18, it says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. How many of you have been taught, oh, if you're just a good person, you'll be okay? That's the silver and gold. Hey, you know what? You just live the life of this good, and listen, you don't hurt anybody, and that's all God expects. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's that aimless tradition that you have received from your parents. Here's what God says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like works or gold or silver from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious. Why is it so precious? Man, the blood of Christ is so valuable. It paid for every human being that has ever existed and ever will be born. Precious, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Guys, I'm telling you, you can't do this on your own. You got to see that you need a Savior. Listen, you are too weak to save yourself. You have no ability to get to heaven on your own. Listen, you can't believe what your parents tell you if they say just be good. Anything contrary to the Word of God is a lie. It's a lie. You can't grab hold of it. And you go, well, you know, and it's so funny because I have discussions with people all the time. And I say, and they'll say, well, I believe this. And I go, well, that's contrary to the Word of God. How can you believe that and be a Christian? Well, I just feel. I don't care what you feel. What's the Word of God say? Anybody ever get up in the morning and go, wow, I feel like today is going to be the best day ever. And it ends up being the worst day you ever had. You can't go on feeling. Amen? Listen, I reached in here this morning and Milton was with me and we reached in and went, wow, that doesn't feel bad. And the ladies got in there and turned blue. You ever feel something and be wrong? And in verse 19, he says, but with the precious blood of Christ. Man, that's what we're saved with, guys. That's what washes us. That's what brings us before the throne. That's the only thing that allows us into heaven, is the precious blood of Christ. And that's what Paul's saying is, listen, man, who's going to die for you? Who's going to give up life for you that you could live? Who's going to do that? Won't you go home or take this whole week? I challenge you, take this whole week and you go up to somebody and say, hey, would you die so I could live? That'll start something, amen. I remember when I first got saved, I was so on fire for God. I mean, listen, man, I told, there wasn't a soul that went by that I didn't tell about Jesus. And so I was driving down the road one day, and I was innocent, even though I got pulled over for speeding, but I still claim I'm innocent. Okay, I was guilty. I was speeding. And a state trooper pulls me over, and I was in my work van, and he says, come on up to my car. And so I got out of my truck and I went up and sat in the front seat of his trooper. He's a state trooper. I sat in front of his, the front seat of the car, and we're talking, and I don't know what hit me. It had to be the Holy Spirit. But I looked at him and I go, if you were to die today, do you know where you would go? And he looked at me and I went, oh, no, 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 no. I didn't mean it like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it hit me. I just asked an armed man if he were to die, and I'm unarmed. And I went, oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. And he goes, don't worry, son, I'm a Christian. Thank you, Jesus. Like, he got it, right? sometimes we're just crazy. We don't think. The precious blood of Jesus. Look here in Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us. Do you guys seeing what's happening here? The only reason this is extended to us is because God loves us. That's where the love comes from. He doesn't love us. He loves us as we are to come to him, but he does not love us to stay as we are. There's a huge difference. People say, oh, God made me the way I am, and he loves me the way I am. Listen, God didn't make you the way you are, but he does love you the way you are, but he will not accept you to stay the way you are. There's a big difference. But he says here, look, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins, cleansed us from that unrighteous lifestyle that we were living, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. The blood of Jesus. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't for the shed blood of Jesus, we'd have no hope. If it wasn't for the love of the Father who was willing to allow his Son to die so that you and I could live, we'd have no hope. Man, do we really understand the cost of our salvation? Do we really grab hold of the shed blood of Jesus? And are we so arrogant as to think that we are good enough in God's eyes to get to heaven by our good works? I have some questions for you if that's what you believe. Let's say good works gets us there. How good is good enough? Like, how good do you have to be before you cross the finish line and go, whoo, I made it. Praise Jesus, I made it. Like, where is that line at? How good is good enough? And then here's the next question. By whose standards? Man, you take 20 different people, you're going to get 20 different standards. Ask our government about morality. Man, they've been trying forever to legislate morality. You can't legislate morality. You can make all the laws you want, and it doesn't mean that people are going to be better for it. There's only one thing that changes the heart of man, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, I died for you that you will live. Let me tell you something. If legislation changed morality, our jail cells would be empty, amen? People wouldn't be breaking the laws, would they? And you can put all the laws in place that you want. It isn't going to matter. You know what's so amazing? We take the Bible out of schools, but we allow the Bible in prison. And prisons are better for it, but yet we don't want it in the school. So we'll send them to prison so they can learn about Jesus. How twisted are we? Man has got a twisted way of thinking, and I'm going to tell you, it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:9. Look here in Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy, who? Jesus. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. Listen, he was murdered. He was slain for you and me and have redeemed us. Who is us? All mankind. To who? To the Father. How? By his blood. Out of where? Every tribe and every tongue and people and nation. God left nobody behind. And we say, well then, how is it that people are condemned to hell? How can such a loving God condemn people to hell? God doesn't. Just like in that clip we shown, you know what happens is man doesn't reach up for God. God reaches down for man, but man won't reach back. And so therefore, man pays the ultimate price. And you say, well, God's not going to send anybody to hell. You're right. We send ourselves to hell by rejecting his Son, Jesus Christ. It's just how it is. Nothing's ever going to change either. And it doesn't matter what new theology comes in, what new ideologies come in, what new worldviews come in. It doesn't matter what next great speaker comes in. It doesn't matter what great charismatic personality comes in. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It's never going to change. You say, well, oh, I like the way that's said. It makes sense. If it's contrary to the Word of God, I don't care what makes sense to you. It's wrong. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because God loved us so much and he redeemed us to God by Jesus' blood. He didn't play favorites with anybody. He said, I want all to come to me. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all means. Completely inclusive. Man, I'm just going to tell you, man, God is so good. In the New Testament, it kind of breaks down like this. That we're justified by grace, according to Romans 3:24. And I don't think I put those scriptures up there, so don't worry about it. I'll read it here. Being justified freely by his grace. Freely. What do you mean, justified? Being forgiven freely. No cost to us. It only costs the Father. Wow. By God's grace. And then we're justified by faith, according to Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith, what do you mean? God extended his grace to us, and by us believing in him, guess what? We're saved. No other way. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Jesus, Jesus only. Don't throw baptism in there. Don't throw good works in there. Don't throw anything in there. We are justified through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, period. Done. Now, for some of us, we go, no, I got to do something. No, you got to get out of the way and let God do what God's going to do. You got to surrender. That's what you got to do. You got to get rid of that pride. You got to get rid of everything that's stopping you from receiving Christ as your Savior. Because if you don't, the reality is you're going to go to hell. You go, I don't like that. I don't like to say it. But if I'm going to preach the truth, I got to get it all out there. Amen. And then we're justified by works. And you go, oh, wait a minute. You just said no works. Let me read James 2:21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? James says, you want to see my faith? You want to see that I believe in God? You'll see it by what I do. That's my works. My works didn't save me. My works show that I'm saved. My works don't make me love Jesus. My works show that I love Jesus. And so when we look at your lifestyle, you know, and people have asked me, Pastor, you know, I want to get saved. And okay, and then I lead them. And then I look at their lifestyle later and I go, I thought you got saved. I did. Well, nothing has changed. And then I get this, well, God's working on me. No, you're a fool. You're a fool. Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if you receive Christ as your Savior, you're a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. When? The moment you receive Jesus. And so if your life didn't change after you received Jesus Christ, I'm going to bet you didn't receive Jesus Christ. And you go, you can't judge me. I'm not judging you. I'm judging your works. I'm looking at you saying you're not a fruit tree. You're a pine tree. You're not producing anything. So you can't do that. Psh, tell God. He told me to do it. I'm going to tell you, so interesting. James Stifler said this. Grace is the source of justification. Faith is the condition. Works is the evidence. But we all do it because the blood is the means. It's all through the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else happens without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. No salvation, no life, no nothing. It's by the blood. Look here in Romans 5:10. And I'm going to speed this up so we can get through it. We were reconciled to God. Look here in 5:10. For if, Romans chapter 5, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, yes, you, without Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of God. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are an enemy of God's. And you go, I'm not an enemy of God's. Listen, I didn't write this. God did. And if God says you're an enemy, you're an enemy. You go, well, I don't hate God. Well, you don't love him either, so therefore, you're an enemy. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. People so often say, I'm just going to stay right where I'm at. I'm just going to sit on the fence. Let me help you out for a moment. Satan owns the fence. God says you are either for me or you are against me. There is no in between. And some of us, we go, well, hey, you know what? I'm just going to kind of hang out right here. Like, I'm not, listen, you Christians, I love you Christians. I ain't saying nothing against you. And yeah, it's all good. And oh, you the world, don't take offense, guys. And you're the world, you know, I'm not going to say anything against you because to each his own, right? I mean, who am I to say what you need to do and how you need to live? And so I'm just going to kind of hang here and I'm going to love everybody. You're condemned to hell. You go, but I'm a good person. Remember, works don't get you there. You're condemned to hell. Why is it we don't get that? Why is it we don't get that we are enemies of God until we're born again? Until we become a child of God's? Until we become the family? How do we do that? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because remember what the scripture said, for without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there's no forgiveness of sins. Well, how many sins do I got to commit to be a sinner? How many banks do you got to rob to be a bank robber? One. I'm just curious. How many here have ever told a lie? Wow, man, that knocks out the majority. How many here have ever taken anything that wasn't yours? Wow, there takes a whole bunch more. How many people have ever thought something that was just really a bad, lustful thought, and you knew you shouldn't have thought it? Well, now you guys are in denial. See, the worse the sin got, the more the hands went down. Listen, it only took one thought. It only took one act. It only took one lie to condemn you to hell. And you go, I don't like that. Neither did I. But praise be to God that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and me, to shed his blood, that we would be covered and we'd have a way out. And just like in that video, if you don't reach up, you have no hope. Just like in that video, if you don't reach up and grab hold of God, you got a long fall. Guys, I'm telling you, I'm not even up here trying. And by the way, I'm not going to preach for the next 2 weeks, so I got to get it all in today. Milton's preaching next week and Kevin's preaching the following week, and then I'll be back in town. So I just want you guys, you guys just got to hear it. You got to know it. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Listen, you're not just forgiven and reconciled. Man, you have been given eternal life to be with God forever and forever. Amen. I want you to look here in Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25, if you'll pull that up. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost. In other words, he's able to save. There's no boundaries to his salvation. There are no limits to his salvation. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've thought. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your history. Nothing matters. Listen. Therefore, he is able to save anyone for anything. And you go, I don't agree with that. Well, praise God, God doesn't agree with you. To the uttermost, who? Those who come to God through Jesus Christ. That's who the hymn is, Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't line up what I'm taught in school. Well, you're taught in school a lie. That doesn't line up with the multitude believe. Listen, the multitude are going to die and go to hell. Wide is the way to hell. Narrow is the gate that leads to life, life everlasting. It's through Jesus Christ. Now look at this, guys. Look at the rest of this verse. What a blessing. How powerful. What more can you ask for? Since he, who's he? Jesus. Since he always. That word always means never ceasing, never end. There is no end to it. Always, continuous, without stopping. That's what that word always literally means. Always lives. He's not dead. We don't serve a God who died on the cross, went in the grave and stayed there. He resurrected. Amen. He's alive. He's born. He is standing at the Father. He is praying for us. He is coming on our behalf to do what? To make intercession. That coming on our behalf for who? Us. Who's them? The lost. Those who don't believe. He still wants you. Man, how many times have you went to somebody and you tried to help them and they spit in your face and they tell you, they don't want your help. And you go, fine, you do it on your own. You walk away and you don't ever turn around again. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus will constantly turn around and he holds his hand out. He's long-suffering. He holds his hand out. And then there does come a day where when you don't reach up, he says, okay, I'll let you over to your reprobate mind to do those things that are against God, the Father, and the ultimate price is hell. But I want you to see in 7:25, therefore he is also able to save anywhere, anybody, those who come to God through Jesus. What's that look like? Hey, I'm going to tell you here in just a second. Since he, Jesus, always lives to make intercession for you. Make this personal, because God's doing it for you. Let me tell you something. If you're here today, it's not an accident. There are no accidents with God. Man, God's constantly trying to pick and prick at the heart of man to get him to surrender, to get him to see the need, because God would have none to perish. None. And you say, that's foolish preaching. You hold on to that idea for a while. Jesus says, man, he is always making intercession for each and every one of us. He desires everywhere, everyone to surrender to the cross. The question is, what are you going to do with it? As we look in Romans 5:11, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Maybe today can be your now. Maybe right now can be your now. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to hell. You can't work for this. You can't earn it. You can't go, wait, I got to change some things and then come to him. Listen, you may not have time to change those things. And then if you had time to change them, what are you going to change them to? See, that's the beautiful thing about the blood of Jesus. He says, come as you are. Don't worry about everything you've done. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your thoughts. Don't worry about the actions that you did. Come now and just surrender it all at the cross. And I'll save you. Save us from what? Save us from the wrath of God. 1 Peter talks about the wrath of God and how we're saved from that. And I just want to give you that opportunity today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, and you can sit there and say, man, I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I don't ever remember a time that I believed on Jesus. But man, I tell you, today I believe what the Bible says. And I just want to surrender my life. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I believe what was said today, and I'm going to surrender. If that's your heart, that's your desire, and that's what I mean by your heart, your desire. Not in your mind where you go, ooh, this scares me, and I don't want to be a part of it, so I better go ahead and take care of it now. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the desire in your heart. Like in your heart of hearts, you know that you got to surrender. If that's you, I want you to listen up. If it's your desire and you're ready to surrender your life to Christ, I want you to listen up. If you recognize you can't save yourself by good works, I want you to listen up. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray the prayer with me if it's the desire of your heart. And understand this, the words don't save you. It is your heart that you believe what you're saying. That's what saves you. The words are just a kind of a map to guide you through it. It is with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. It's between you and God. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have done wrong according to your word. Today, I ask for forgiveness. Today, I surrender my life. Today, Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of the world. And today, I receive you as my personal Savior. I surrender it all.